Welcome to episode 13 of Living in Recovery, a podcast devoted to sharing the stories of fellow CBP employees who are living in recovery with an addiction. The focus of this podcast is to share the experiences of those who have struggled with alcohol or drugs in the hopes of breaking the stigma that's often associated with addiction. Also, the goal of this podcast is to stimulate hope amongst those who may be struggling but are discouraged or intimidated by the prospect of seeking help. As a disclaimer, the words expressed in this podcast are based on personal experiences alone and are not meant to be taken as medical advice or to promote one method of treatment. Today, Ricky shares his recovery experience and how treatment helped him come to terms with his addiction. Now, Ricky discusses what works in his approach to recovery. Ricky, when did you first know you had a problem?
I first realized it on summer of 2022. It was after an incident that I was supposed to pick up my daughter from daycare around 2 p.m., so I decided to go up to a bar grill around 11 a.m. And by the time it was close to 2, I had fallen asleep in the bar. And what woke me up was my ex-wife's phone call saying that she wanted to pick her up. But it wasn't until the next day that I woke up realizing that I needed help, because feeling guilty of falling asleep in that bar led me to keep on drinking that day. And it was in the morning that I said, oh my God, I think this is an addiction. After drinking since I was 14, I felt this was like a wake-up call. So that was just a wake-up call. But I was able to see that I was believing that my addiction was real.
How did that make you feel to know that after all those years of struggling, that this was a problem?
I was isolated when I realized that. So a lot of emotions kicked in. Scared, nervous, excitement, not in a good way. It's just that excitement as in, oh my God, what am I going to do? Am I going to ask for help? Am I going to do it on my own? I try to do everything. And it was just a scary moment, guilty moment, but I'm glad that day I decided that I had to start doing something. But yeah, it was more than scary because of the knowledge I've had of addiction to alcohol. Mm-hmm. Being alcoholic, that's what scared me, because I didn't think I had it. But I'm grateful for that scary moment.
You said you're grateful. What made you feel grateful? What was your next step after that?
So in that moment, I remember I had called my sister. By this time, I was living by myself in my apartment with my English bulldog. He's been with me since my divorce, so he can share more experiences. But the only person that would understand what I was going through was my sister in that moment, or at least I thought, right? Because I just didn't know where to go. I was just scared of Alcoholics Anonymous was in my mind for some reason, and I was just too scared. So I called my sister, and she's a counselor at a school. So she gave me these ideas. We'll get in contact with this friend in Laredo at an AA, and she can guide you somewhere. And I went from there, just make some calls. I called a peer support member from here, and she wasn't knowledgeable working with an alcoholic, but she just helped me find out resources for me to avoid any issues with my work, right? Because I was scared too. I just thought that I was going to get fired for being an alcoholic. So, sorry, I kind of like this because I get little goosebumps, but as part of my recovery, I have to feel that to keep going for the day. So, yeah, that day, I think I said it already, but this was just a wake-up call. Because it gets better. So I got in contact with someone who went through AA. He's in my in-person meetings here in Laredo. And he's not my sponsor, but he's kind of like my go-to guy for the in-person meeting here. And he invited me to one of the meetings, and that's how I started learning about the AA program. And in there, I met other alcoholics. I started listening to their stories. I kind of shared mine, but I was very close-minded. Why? Because I started, my wall is kind of protecting what I share. And most of the times I don't share what I need to share. This is something since I was young. It could take, be a trauma, but my counselors just say it's just the way I grew up with. That's why I put my wall a lot, right? But I had a barrier there, but I was listening. I was adapting to the stories. And just listening to these older men, and they were 3 years sober, and I was like, I was impressed that I was just a few days sober, and these older men with more difficult problems than I had were sober, and they were living life regularly and happy about it, where I was just in the moment of confusion. If I was going to decide to be an alcoholic or not, that was going through my thoughts, through my mind, right? My thoughts. So I decided, let me go through this program. Let me try it out. And I went as far as 4 months because I was following through with the program, but I wasn't accepting that it was an addiction. That was my main problem. So during those 4 months, I was able to not drink. But my mind was going, okay, soon you can take a sip of a beer or a whiskey. And I can remember very well, I finished 4 months, and I did that mistake of trying out a new beer that I saw on a commercial. And little did I know, I was already drinking every weekend again and all that. So back at it again. I thought that going into that program, staying 4 months sober, was going to be like, oh, I'm going to be able to control my drinking.
Yeah.
That was the worst. That was the worst mistake I did. But I'm grateful because that led me to the relapse. My relapse was a week before my birthday. I said, I'm going to try to stop drinking again. I stopped for a week. But on that Saturday, I remember I was like, I'm just going to drink six beers for the day. And what happened was I lost count of those six beers. And my mind just blacked out. And I woke up in the police unit getting ready to be taken into the county jail for driving while intoxicated. And that relapse was where I had a tough conversation with God that I find help or something else is going to happen. And I already knew where to go. As soon as I got out of jail, I was so guilty of myself and began drinking again right after. So it was just my way of forgetting, or it was a way of me just not dealing with my guilty emotions that I drank. And I got out of jail on my birthday. I got administrative duties to see. It's just policy, right? I have to go fix my stuff and all that. And I actually, January 9th was my birthday. It was January 15th that I drank two beers, and once I got home, I said, I just need to stop. This is just childish. There's something wrong with me. So the next day, I went to that AA meeting in person. I went, and you should have seen their faces. They were just happy that I was there, like the prodigal son. And I couldn't cry at that moment. And which is also part of my recovery. I don't cry in the moments. It's just through the years, my emotions are all tied up in my heart. And then one day I'll just burst out into tears when the moment comes. But that's the way I deal with strong emotions, right? It's just, that's how I grew up with, and that's how I can cope with it. That's what I get for using alcohol these years, right? My body got used to that. But there is a solution, and that's how I have to deal with it. And to continue where I left off, I went home. I still have the video on my phone. All the beers that I have in my fridge, I just started pouring them out. All of them. You should have seen the counter of all the beers that I had. And I got in contact with the people that I had to get in contact with. That was through AAP. There was, she's a counselor. She's not with AAP anymore, but I told her that I will never forget her because she gave me the resources to connect with my sponsor, which is Iman, with my recovery mother, Kimbra. And my, I tell him he's my other sponsor, but Jorge. And it was just a blessing talking to those people because I was by myself. My connection with my family is very difficult still through my recovery, but at least I'm more understanding and I'm more prepared of how to react to anything that can trigger my sobriety. So it just felt so good to finally connect with someone that actually understood me. After all these years, you know, I don't know if my ex-wife tried to understand me. I don't know if my other friends, because I was isolated myself. But these godparents, right, the three people that I mentioned, they just connected with me instantly. And that gave me hope. That gave me hope that I can get through this. Because I was just, I don't know how to explain it, how by myself I have been through all this time. And how I just started asking God, give me that strength because I'm really by myself on this. And it was from that day, January 15th, and I started looking for rehab centers. I talked to my job, asking them, hey, I want to fix myself. I want to come back stronger than ever. When I started finding out if I was going to get fired to go through this rehab program. And I think now they have the safe harbor now. When this happened, this wasn't there. And I'm grateful for CBP that they allowed me to go through this so I can come back better. I went straight into the treatment center. Just a great home for me for those 30 days. And I was already sober for a month. And when I called them, they were like, well, you've been sober a month. I don't think you need this. And I'm like, I remember talking to the manager there and telling him, please don't deny me this. Like, yeah, I'm a month sober, but I need the tools. I need the tools to beat this addiction. I mean, if I came to you by myself, please, let me live this moment. I want to get all the tools I can get because, you know, I'm going to come back strong. I don't want to go back to alcohol. It's already destroying my life. I can't lose my job. That's all I have. I'm already divorced. I have a difficult time trying to get my daughter seen still. At least give me this because I know I can do better. I can be a better person to this life. And they're like, okay, we'll give it a try. And March, I was already in there. And as soon as I got there, the nurses were like, I mean, you're really sober. Like, we don't need you here at the intensive area. I was like, no, I'm here to learn and get better. So I passed all like the pre-qualifications, the questionnaires, and everything just went well. And then they gave me a room right away. And there, I'm already in Laja. Of course, the first 2 days, I felt lonely again, doubting myself. Am I doing the right thing? What am I doing here? Should I just go back? I'm already a good time clean. Should I go back and start drinking slowly again? And then those are the thoughts that I needed to fix. So as soon as the third day, well, I forgot to mention, before going in through my sponsor, Gabe, he introduced me to an AA Zoom meeting, which they all went to La Hacienda Treatment Center. They got me involved in those meetings, so I was there already meetings before going in, so that helped me maintain that month sober. And I met wonderful people there that the second day in Laja, they went to their alumni meeting there. And, I mean, those 2 days, I felt lonely because I went by myself. I didn't tell anyone, just work. My family, they knew I had an alcohol problem, but they weren't knowledgeable of how it worked with me. So it did feel lonely. It did, but just not having a family member there supporting, right? And when I got up in the stand to be introduced for being a rookie, I saw my two friends from the Zoom meeting. And they were just cheering me. They're just excited that I decided this for the same reason why Kimber's excited about me. Because I voluntarily went to seek that help. And that gave me the support. So there I realized that support and understanding is really important in anyone's life. And that got me, that gave me that strength. I said, you know what? Yeah, let me do this. It's okay to be uncomfortable every once in a while, especially for an alcoholic. And it worked. They made me do a summary of when I started drinking, all my drinking years until now. And I cried so much. I was like, more than anything, because I was saying goodbye to some moments where I did enjoy them, but it was going to give a big turn everything. It was going to be a huge turn, but because I was afraid of change. So I was saying bye to an old me. It was sad because it was just, it's been tough moments. And as I was reading all those, I just realized that I had God, or at least an angel, with me all this time, because I'm alive in this rehab center. So, you know, that day I just decided at least call the most resentments that I had, which is one of our steps in the STEP program for AA. I decided to call my ex-wife and let her know, hey, I'm actually in a rehab center, and I just want to tell you that I'm sorry, right, for any wrong that I do while I was alcoholized. And I speak to my daughter. And yeah, just hearing her voice and just started crying there. I had to let it all out. And just listening to her voice and having a conversation with her just gave me that push to keep going there. But more than anything, it was a conversation that I had where I was completely sober. So, yeah, see that little bit? I was just reliving that moment. And everything just turned around in my mind and said, let's do this. And I went all hard through that rehab program. I did my 12 steps. I made sure I had to apologize for the wrongdoings that I had. Part of the program, did my counseling in there, share my story, and listen to other stories that I was able to connect. There wasn't any other law enforcement there, so this was new and challenging for me to get humble, right? Or I didn't get humble and accept that I did have a problem. And that helped me realize that there is a solution. There's a solution. And my new identity that I give now is Ricky, alcoholic. And yeah, I'll say I'm proud of it because I can see things clearly now. I am here with you all and expressing the real Ricky Ramos. It's just, I like to steal the phrase from where he says being sober is the best romance I ever had than any drink I had. So as soon as I got a Laja, I started just enjoying life. I get challenges every now and then with my emotions, with my thinking, with my cravings. But the way I just deal with them is just so human, humanly like. Just feeling human is so amazing. And as soon as I got back from rehab, work already was waiting for me. They were just impressed that I had done this and that I really wanted to change. Most people at work think like, oh no, they're going to go into that same routine and this is going to happen again. But I promised them, I said, no, this time I'm coming back, but staying sober for the rest of my life. Can't go back to that old routine. And for that reason, I decided that once I finished rehab, I kept doing my work. So I did another 2 months of the program via online. And I just keep getting more tools, getting more work on my recovery. And yes, I came back better than ever. I'm able to speak to my family members better than I used to. And I can take challenges very differently now without having to rely on a drink. But I probably went a little more, but yeah.
No, that was awesome. I do wonder, you talked about grieving that person you were because you knew you were going to miss certain things about who you were when you were drinking. But then you talked about how you knew you weren't going to go back to that. How did you know that that was it for you?
Because as I was reading my story, I just couldn't believe how I involved alcohol so much in my life and how so many times God saved my life in those moments. There were so many signs during this time that I say, oh my God, like what I'm doing now, I could have just done it before, but I was just... my mind was just not focusing on other than just alcohol. Alcohol was just there. I started remembering days where I couldn't go to a small get together or even at a first communion, and I had to have a beer before or a beer at that, you know, at the event. And there was days that I could make it home safe and all that. But another day it was a blackout and I just saw it as a normal thing. I saw everything that led to the DWI, which was my relapse. I was like, my God, imagine this happened when I was younger. It was just, I felt bad for myself. But after all the crying and all that, I said, you know what? I should be proud of myself, because if I was by myself in those moments, that means that I can make it through by myself. And I said, if I was able to stay strong, this solution, I have what it takes. And it was just a matter of working on it. I share that because it wasn't easy. Stephanie, it wasn't easy just to switch my mind to that. I had to write that down, analyze, remember these days to say that so I can find my strength. I didn't have a phone call. I had a phone there, but I had no one to call me and say, Ricky, you got this. It was just not there. Even my daughter, who doesn't know, understand this, it could have been her, but she didn't understand that moment. And just analyzing there by myself, that and the strength that I had through all the years, that's just what woke me up to keep going through this program. And yes, that isolation got me somewhere, so I'm here.
Were you concerned when you came out of treatment that your job would be in question?
Yes. I was already worried. I mean, I was already enough worried before going. But after my rehab, I just thought that it was going to be a longer process. But I guess for all the work that I gave, as soon as I got out that day and on the bus back home, I got a call from management telling me, hey, as soon as you come back, you're ready to be on duty. So that was like a big blessing. We usually, alcoholics, we rely on a lot of, how do you say this, spiritual reality. And that was kind of it. I was going through very spiritual moments in there, but having that call from management saying, hey, congratulations, and we're ready to have you back on duty. I was like, this is a spiritual awakening. This is what the program is all about. And from that day on, I have a better relationship with management. It even made it stronger. I know anything I ask based on my work ethic and all that, I don't have issues to have that help denied. So, yeah, I was worried, but because of the program, right? The blessing that I like to call it.
What does recovery look like for you today?
Well, I had this conversation with another coworker because he was impressed of how every morning I wake up at 5 a.m. I sleep by 10:30, 11 a.m. latest, wake up at 5 a.m., do my meditation, do my rosary. I'll get out in nature, step on grass, breathe the air. If I can hug a tree, I'll hug it. And he saw me in a phase, like, in shock. You do this every day? And I'm like, if I didn't do this today, bro, I couldn't even be able to talk to you or listen to you or pay full attention to you. I would just be selfish and just be ready to get out of here and drink. And he's like, you're ready for that for the rest of your life? I'm like, yeah, it's part of my life now, but I don't regret it. Enjoy life more. I see even the problems that come out, I see it more clearly because I know that I can get to a solution. So recovery, when they ask me about recovery, it's part of my life.
What do you find to be the biggest challenge to your recovery? How do you deal with that?
Oh, I like this question because even though I'm out of recovery, I stay connected with the people I need to, but I'm still an isolated person, not because sad or that I hate talking to other people. No, because I save my energy so I can be okay for the rest of the day or for even tomorrow. It's just, I blame it on my emotions. My emotions are so draining. Even if I'm too excited, even if I get sad, they drain everything. They drain my whole energy. And so dealing with that has been the most challenging. Not so much the cravings. I'll get a craving, it's rare, because I see a commercial of, I'm usually a fan of strong beer. So if I see like an IPA or a stout on TV, it's like, oh wow, that looks delicious. But if somebody is there drinking in front of me, you know, I'm okay. And I don't know, from talking to other people that are trying to understand my recovery, they think that recovery in alcohol is just about leaving the drink. And at least for me, it's not just about not drinking. It's about dealing with my emotions, dealing with staying positive during the day, dealing with connecting with people, dealing with places or events or even people to stay away with, dealing with what my mind thinks, dealing with how I wake up, dealing with finances, relationships. It's all in one in this recovery. because I never learned how to deal with that while I was drinking. And the hardest one for me are the emotions. I think I said it earlier, but crying, I wish I could cry in the moment. But my emotions are all mixed up that I won't cry until a week later or even a month later. So you have me there, you know, holding a certain emotion inside. Even though I meditate, even though I touch the grass with barefoot, even if I read, even if I work out, I like playing soccer a lot, so I release a lot of tension there, boxing, I won't cry after. Time's going to happen, and then I cry. And that's so painful. It's painful because I have to hold it there. I have to hold it there. I was so used to drinking it out, and it was so easy just to deal with that. And then if I would feel like that again, I would just drink again. And that was just a solution to that. And now I actually deal myself with that. I think it's painful because I don't like holding stuff there. And I have to endure that because I have to learn how it feels, learn how to process it. Mm-hmm. And I have to get back to that because if I learned how to process anger, let me know how to process this emotion. It's so confusing, and I give it thought. And it's like, I want to help someone, or I have to do this at the house. And, oh, wait, let me deal with this emotion. Or, okay, let me do this urgency first and then go back to it. And it's like, oh, God, let me restart again. But that's just part of my life now. I have to deal with it. And I know the people that talk to us about, they're like, either they'll be like, no, that's not right. It's like, that's just what I have to deal with.
What would you say to someone who might be trying to decide if they should go get help and why they should even bother to do it?
I don't like to force the AA program right away, but I like to tell other people to listen to their support. Like if your wife is supporting you, if your mom, if your dad, your brothers, but take advantage of that. And if they know you very well, listen to them to see if it has affected them. Like your addiction. The reason I say that is because I had to see it by myself. And that was the worst thing in the world because it took me all this time to realize if that accident wouldn't have happened, which I was by myself, I don't know how else I would have accepted my addiction. In rehab, I saw my other peers so happy when their family came to see them. They talked to them. Again, it was a moment to cry, but the tears wouldn't come out because I had no one there to go see me, to see how much I have improved. But that taught me how to take away that victim mentality and fight this addiction. And instead of feeling sorry for myself, I tell other people, if you have family, hey, let them support you. That's the best thing you can have. That's the best help that's gonna help you get this through. If I was able to do it myself, is you have someone there right there with you. So take advantage of that. Take advantage of the support more than anything. That's my little advice that I like to give someone else fighting my same fight.
Those are all the questions I have. Is there anything you'd like to add?
No, this was pretty nerve-wracking. But no, just all I would like to say is whoever this reaches out to let them know that there is a solution. There is help out there. I actually found help. I was actually shy to reach out to other peer members or coworkers. And stuff like this that I'm sharing or finding a podcast, listening, it's going to help. It's going to help beat that fear to seek help. You're not alone on this. It's hard. I went through the same thing. That fear of just that I'm going to get fired, that I'm going to lose friends, fear of leaving the drink. I went through all that. So whoever listens to this, just take your time and find that help as slow as you can. But help and a solution, it's there.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Living in Recovery. If you or someone you know needs help, reach out to the Employee Assistance Program to reach a licensed clinician at 1-800-755-7002. For additional resources related to the Alcohol and Substance Misuse Prevention Program, please visit the CBP Workforce Care Directorate page on CBPNet. You can also send questions directly to CBP Resiliency at cbp.dhs.gov.